Well, the Public Servants Association saying it is willing to return to the negotiating table with government following a deadlock over wage increase. The talks stalling after government proposed to increase salaries on condition that workers forfeit some of their current benefits. All public sector unions have rejected the offer. The Assistant General Manager, Ruben Male, saying that they are being undermined, saying we are willing to negotiate, but we cannot do so if we are moving from a 0% from the employer. Strangely, the local government was given 2.8%, but the provincial and national governments were given 0%. It doesn't make sense that government says there's no money, but at one level of government, they have given 2.8%. We are dealing with a situation where we are being undermined. Well, Labour Federation COSATU agreeing with the PSA, saying that the public sector should not be excluded from wage increases as government had allowed for some state-owned enterprises as well as parliamentary workers to receive those salary hikes. Joining me on the line now is COSATU's first deputy president, Michael Shingange. Michael, a very good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning to your listeners.
You obviously want an increase for your union members, don't you, who work in the public sector. When government's saying it has no money, where are they supposed to find the money to obviously afford the increase that you guys are asking for?
Well, remember, we are moving from a point of view that says the workers in the past financial year have taken a not less than 4.2% salary decrease. If you consider that the government did not pay the workers the last leg of the agreement that was there. So it's obviously on the second year running that the workers will not receive a salary increase. But at the same time, you have these very lowly paid workers that are now supposed to go 3 to 4 years on a wage freeze. In our view, that is not sustainable. We know that government has been complaining and pleading poverty as a result of COVID-19, but we want to clarify that, in fact, the attitude of government towards public sector workers started long before there would be COVID-19. In other words, the issue of not having money now is as a result of COVID. It's not something that we are willing to take, given the fact that even when they reneged on the last leg of the Resolution 1 of 2018, at that time, there was not yet a COVID. So that's a point we are raising, that you can't come to negotiating table with a 0% base, but at the same time, you want to take other benefits from the workers. In our view, it's actually stripping the workers of a little income that they have and the little rights that they think that it has accrued to them as a result of collective bargaining.
The finance minister, Tito Mboweni, I suppose going to great pains from the minute he was afforded the job of saying that the public wage bill is just too high. The government continues to need to go and ask for money from entities that will borrow us money. We are sitting at potential indebted levels of what, 95% of GDP levels, which is extremely high. We need to get that public wage sector bill under control. How do you propose he does that?
No, first we must clarify that, in fact, it's just that public sector workers are an easy target for government or anybody to cut when the debt to GDP grows. It is not like a government every year goes and borrow money in order to pay the public sector wage. It's not true. That's not true. The debt that the government has to whoever lender is to do a whole lot of other things. But secondly, the public sector workers, particularly those who are covered by the PSBC, again, as I said, they have become the easy target. But there's also the cost of doing the public service itself, public administration, which includes the fact that the parliamentarians themselves that earn money from the same public purse. There's people in municipalities, there's people in SOEs that also earn from the same public purse. We hardly hear that matter being mentioned as part of the public wage bill that is high. The fact that the public sector wage bill is big is not the only thing that Tito Mboweni has been saying. He has also initially said that, in fact, the public sector is bloated. In other words, there are many workers that are supposed to be reduced. But that has since been proven to be incorrect. to a point where himself, when he makes a statement in his budget, he will say that, in fact, we've got fewer public sector workers today than we had 5 years ago, be it teachers, be it nurses, in schools, in the hospitals, and so on. We have got very less workers of that. So even this one, of the public sector wage bill that is said to be high, it is becoming to be proven that, in fact, they stabilized at a less than internationally expected standard. So the point is, it's not correct that you can say, just like it was not correct that the public sector is bloated.
In the 2021 budget review, Treasury said that government expenditure will reduce by 264 billion rand over the next 3 years if the wage freeze in the public sector is maintained. That's quite a bit of dosh, isn't it?
It is, but you remember in the public sector, you have various salary levels, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, up to 12. A public sector worker who is at level 3, or 4, even at 5, because of the indebtedness and the kind of the pay scale that they are in, they, after all the deductions happen, sometimes they take 3,500 home or 4,500 home. But you want that person to stay for the next 4 years without any salary increase. Well, nothing else stays frozen. You can't froze the personal income tax. You can't freeze the medical aid. You can't freeze the cost of petrol, the transport which they use to go and from work. Workers in this country, they use up to 35% of their salaries to travel to their workplaces and home. You want that thing to, not to freeze that, but freeze the income. We don't know what kind of a society or the economy want to sustain when the earning and spending capacity of workers are reduced and or are stayed at the same place for the next 4 years when things are going up. So that's what we're saying. It can be happening, but that is not the safe. But if you look at the money they want to save from not paying workers, compared to the money that the Auditor General year in and year out says to us we are losing. I mean, 3 years ago, the money that we are using through fruitless expenditure and irregular and corruption would have been 40,000, 50,000. In fact, last year it was 4,000. Today is 60,000. I mean, 60 billion. I mean, sorry, 60 billion that the Auditor General has said that we are losing every year. But there's no talk about firstly stopping that leakage that we are having in the public service, but secondly, recovering the money that would have otherwise been lost through this corruption and irregular expenditures. But it is the workers who are tasked with delivering services to the communities. It is the workers who are poorly paid, who are the ones that every now and then are called upon to take the cut for the problems that they did not create.
I would argue that as a taxpayer, Michael, I want both. I want government to stop those leakages through corruption and fraudulent activities and bring that 60 billion rand to zero, quite frankly. At the same time, I do want us to right-size the public sector in the terms of number of people employed and make sure that we do reward people appropriately for the job that they do, but that we do not have additional bodies employed in not only government departments, but state-owned enterprises beyond what is needed. But let me ask this. Are you willing to go back to the negotiating table should they resume?
We are willing to go back to the negotiation table. Of course, that will mean that the government will now have a revised offer than what they presented last week, which is a zero budget. Because as you know, we are in a deadlock now. When you're deadlocked, it means we are not able to go forward unless any party moves. So we are willing. We always are willing. But also to address your earlier part is that firstly, workers themselves, they are taxpayers. So this notion that says there are taxpayers, people there, and then there are public sectors who are getting salaries as if themselves do not pay tax is firstly incorrect.
But as I was not suggesting that at all, Michael, but let's accept the fact that an entity like Eskom, for example, has been shown to have in the thousands more employed bodies than what is necessary for the state-owned entity.
No, first, as I was saying, that the Minister of Finance himself had to concede after a 3 years battle that, in fact, they have not been employed. We have got fewer people in hospitals today. The hospitals are dead today. They are not clean because we don't have enough cleaners. The beds are full in hospitals because we don't have enough nurses. He considered that the classes are fuller today because they've got fewer teachers than he had 5 years ago. So that has been proven factual in terms of facts, in terms of the figures, in terms of data, that in fact we've got fewer public sector workers today. So it's not plotted. But of course, we have made a call, as COSATU, that the state-owned enterprises are too many. They need to be rationalized. There are over 700 of them. We don't think we need all 700 of them. Some of them must be amalgamated. But also the bloatedness of the any entity, or in fact even the department in the public service, will have to be looked at. In the point of what we call managerial staff, and also the people who do the service delivery. So if there's going to be any rationalization that is informed by making sure that the structure of the department or SOEs is such that it's not plotted at the top, at the managerial level, but at least it's enough staff in terms of where the service delivery is supposed to take place, who welcome such kind of engagement, but not to target the poor workers who are the ones who are delivering services to be the ones who are targeted. So, like I said, we are at a deadlock. We are willing to go back to the negotiation table, but unfortunately, the zero budget that is there is not something that we think we can engage on.
What are you asking for, Michael? What are you hoping that you'll be able to get for your members?
Look, we have made a demand or a request that talks to a CPI, in other words, the inflation for this financial year, plus 4%. And if you looked at it, the inflation is looked to be around 3.9% plus 4%, so that you go up around 2 to 7%. And it must be clarified that this 4% actual is it takes into account what workers have lost already by the last financial year, when they could not get their salary increase that the government should have given them in terms of the last leg of the Resolution 1 of 2018. So when they did not get that salary increase, when the inflation was up by 4.2%, it means workers took a salary cut. So the demand that workers are making now is a demand that takes into account that deficit. But look, this is negotiations. It doesn't mean that when you say you want 7%, you want 4%, you're going to get at 4%. You go to a table, the employer makes the offer, you make your demand, and then you meet halfway. But when you start by saying, I have nothing, I've actually started from a 0%, actually, you're actually even killing the issue of collective bargaining itself, because there's no need for people to sit on the table and discuss when you publicly pronounce, even through a press conference by the minister, by the way, that there's not going to be any increase this year. Why do you go to bargaining council in the first place?
What do you make of the Public Service and Administration Minister Senzo Mchunu turning to the public for some ideas around resolving this deadlock?
It's unprecedented. It has never happened. I mean, you could ask the public for ideas in terms of improving public service and many other things, but you don't do that thing in the middle, actually, or at the tail end of negotiations. You're inviting people, some of whom are employed, some of whom are working in other sectors, to help you to negotiate as an employer, because remember, the public service minister is the employer here. We have never had a situation where employers will ask people who have got no basis sitting on the negotiating table to help them. Our view is that that's a vote of no confidence on himself as a minister. It's a vote of no confidence on government. That is, perhaps they have run out of ideas and therefore is asking public to help them. But you have a minister who's earning a salary for being a minister. You've got the director generals, you've got the chief negotiators, you've got all sorts of people who are employed, who are earning salary for the position they're having. Then they want to say to people who, some of them are not employed, come help me to do my job while I'm going to be the one who's earning a salary. And yourself, you can just put ideas. We think that's unprecedented. We think that is actually an indication of a minister who doesn't understand the public service, who doesn't understand the rules of engagement as far as collective bargaining is concerned. And really, that's why we have called for him, that in case he thinks that they've run out of ideas. Perhaps he must step aside and allow government to have other people who can have innovative ideas that can engage and perform their duties without asking for the public. Because public servants themselves, they are citizens of the country. They are part of the public that is appealing to. Public servants themselves are actually looking after a number of other citizens of these countries who are not employed, who are not able to earn a salary now by virtue of the unemployment rate that is too high. Now, to just go and think that you're going to find public servants on the other side and then find public or citizens on the other side is actually not understanding the current South African situation.
You've been generous with the time, Michael. I do have one last question. COSATU planning on a nationwide strike tomorrow?
No, it's a May Day, as you will know that it's an International Workers Day. We are unable to can call for a strike now because we usually will commemorate the May Day in rallies or in marches. So the because of the COVID, the national one will just have it will be virtual, where the president of COSATU will be addressing the country and the workers. There will be provinces that will have motorbikes, will march and deliver memorandums to various workplaces and industries or authorities like government, just to put the demands of the workers' plight. But it is not as yet a nation strike. The nation strike will come once the COSATU have gone to ECC in mid-May and then determine the kind of strike that's going to take place, which is going to be inclusive of defending the collective bargain that is under attack in this country.
All right, Michael, thank you very much indeed for your time this morning. Michael Shingange, COSATU's first deputy president. It's 21 minutes past 5.